Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right. Let's do this. Let's play that video clip first, and then we'll get rolling. Otherwise, I may forget.
Yet we are the children of the light, and wherever we go, a great light shines forth. I saw this on full display when I went to end my journey in Israel, the place God chose to reside when He lived among us. This is where everything finally clicked for me, where an impossible act showed me the greatest possibility of all. We went with a friend of mine named Todd White. Todd is one radical dude, and he has absolutely no fear when it comes to praying for and loving others. A former drug addict who was radically saved, Todd now lives with one laser-like goal: to love as many people into the kingdom as he can. Our agenda in going to Israel was simple. We didn't have one. I felt God wanted me to end this series here, so we went on blind faith that God would show us what to do. One of our stops took us to Capernaum, which also happened to be the home base of Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago. I guess it should come as no surprise, then, that God's power was on full display not 100 yards from where Jesus spent most of his time. We noticed a man with a cane who could barely walk, and we asked him if we could pray for him. He agreed, so we stood at the gates to Jesus' home base and asked Jesus to show up.
Jesus, we thank you for complete wholeness. Father, I thank you for grace. Jesus' name, all the pain we command to go. Father, thank you for a brand new back. In Jesus' name, God, thank you that today is the last day of this pain. In Jesus' name, God, today, the end, right now. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for grace. God, I ask you for great increase. In Jesus' name.
And as Todd prayed, Jesus, ever faithful, came to this man, and he wept as he experienced the very God of heaven.
Sorry to keep you so much. Love you. Bless you.
They're waiting.
Okay. I need you to try. Do me a favor. I need you to try to walk without your cane. I believe today you're going to see that this is going to continue to grow stronger and stronger. You're going to see great grace today. This is good?
Yeah.
How long has it been since you were able to walk like that?
From 23 years.
23 years. 23 years you haven't been able to walk like that. 23 years. This is so good. This is good. 23 years. That's so long, a long time. Oh, this is good. Jesus is restoring your hips and your back and everything. Oh, this is good. Bless you.
Is my
you?
Son.
Are you? Oh, yeah. I will be your son.
While this had been going on, a tour guide stood off to the side watching it all. Right after the man was healed, the tour guide approached Todd with a question.
I just want to pray for you. How is your heart?
I don't know. You tell me everything.
I
go to, you know, they said by the Muslims.
Yes.
They said, you know, you go to this shrine, and you know, and then he start to ask you for a question, and then he start to give you the answer.
Yeah.
I want they ask, give me the answer before I give you a question.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Let's do it, man. But
what's,
I need it. Because
what's your name? I understand.
My name's Ali.
No, watch.
Ali.
Don't say anything. Okay. I feel like the last 6 months have been a real trying time in your life. I feel that financially, the last 6 months have been a real trying time. It's been a real trying time in your life. It's been a real struggle.
So Todd gave him a word from his father, and then he prayed for him.
In Jesus' name. Grace, Oh, man. Love you, man.
Thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
You are amazing.
It's good. See, now I'm fresh. Now I'm a new.
It's but good.
You say the truth.
It is the truth.
He was so touched by what had just happened to him, he began telling others what he had seen.
It's relevant.
23 years. He walked only with this stick.
It's the first time he walked.
The first time he just walked himself after he prayed.
He hasn't walked for 23 years.
This was a Muslim man furthering the gospel of Jesus at the gates of Capernaum.
The first thing that needs to happen is you got to realize that it's not about you feeling God. A lot of times, like, I gotta feel a tingly, or I've gotta feel, my hands gotta get warmer. That's awesome if it happens, but God says walk by faith. It says that these signs will follow those that believe. He didn't say it has to be a special gifting. John 14:12, Jesus said, he who believes in me, the same things I do, he's gonna do. That's pretty amazing. Then he steps it up and says, and greater. So you see that in the Word. In Mark 16, it says it. It says, pray for the sick, lay hands on the sick. In order for the sick to be healed, you first gotta lay your hands on them.
When we headed to Jerusalem, I asked God to do something impossible.
Pretty amazing, huh? Turn if you would, to, again, Psalms 145. Psalms 145, and look at verse 2. It says, every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. Imagine when you have churches in a city that they're all praising the works of God. They're not just talking theology. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Verse 3. Look at verse 6. I love this. But you just saw. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts. Here's a guy that's not even a believer, and he's talking about how great God is. He says, men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. And then jump down to the end of verse 10. It says, and your godly ones shall bless you. They will speak of the glory of your what? Kingdom. They'll speak of the glory and the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Imagine what happens when his kids really act like that verse is so. That his dominion, there's no end to his dominion. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're not talking about something that you go to when you die. Is it there? Yeah. But it's here right now. You know, even people in the world, they talk about this parallel universe. You know what the parallel universe is? The kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's here right now. That's the parallel universe. Everywhere you go, there it is.
That's right.
You know, here's the thing. I mean, sometimes, I hesitate showing these kind of videos because in the mind of people, here's what they do. Here's where they go. Well, that's Todd. No, that's just a guy. Did he say anything special? Did you hear him say any kind of special things that, you know, any kind of theologically deep things? No, he just, a guy that knows his daddy and loves to walk like the kingdom is with him right now. So, go over to Philippians if you would. Philippians. I One thing you notice in the book of Philippians, and this is just a side note, but in the book of Philippians, Paul mentions 10 times something having to do with joy. Because really what you find when you read the book of Philippians, or the letter to the church, the Philippian church, when you read that letter, what you find, what Paul's talking about, and he talks about this in most every one of his letters. He's talking about a life as a new creation, where you learn how to live out of your spirit, not out of your head. And that's really what he's talking about. I mean, you know, guys, I know it sounds like, you know, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but we've got to come to the place where we understand that this is what the gospel is. We've had a whole lot of religious piling on to the place where, you know, you take the average individual that says they're a believer, and they may even go to a church, and I'm not bashing churches at all, okay? You know what I stand on that. We don't bash denominations or organizations. We're talking about thought processes that settle into the way people think. It's not about a building. It's not about a tag or a label or a sign on the property. It's not about any of that. It's about the way people settle into their thought process that will muddy them really realizing what Jesus actually did for the human race. And so when we understand that, you know, Jesus came to do what he did because he, number one, he had to pay the lien that was against the human race. When I say that, you understand what I mean by that. There was a debt that needed to be paid. Isaiah said it was Isaiah 25 says it's a covering of darkness that was over all human beings. They basically had control of the human race. And Jesus came into the earth as a man, the only legal way he could do it. Paid the lien that was against the human race. And Daddy said, it's paid. 3 days later, raised him up. But what he did when he raised him up is he didn't just raise Jesus up. He raised up the entire human race, past, present, future. You know, not, you know, I've said those things before, and somebody will ask, well, so are you saying that everybody on the planet is saved? You ready for this? Yes. But not like that. They have to take ownership of it. Had you go in there, didn't I? Some of y'all are getting ready to go to the back door. They are saved, but if they don't take ownership of it, they don't step over into it, and therefore they'll perish. But Jesus did what he did for every person that breathes, ever will breathe. And when the word says you were raised up with him and seated together with him in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he's talking about the whole human race as a whole, not just individuals. But the problem is, see, they don't know that. And if they never take ownership of it, those that declare Jesus as Lord, if they never take ownership of it, then they'll never walk into it. They'll never step over into it. They'll never come out of darkness into his marvelous light. They'll never come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. They'll never will, because they didn't take ownership of it. They have to take ownership of it. You know, even with believers, if you notice well, hold your place in Philippians and go over to, I think it's 2 Peter. Second Peter says this. It says in verse 1, he says, to those who have received a faith the same kind as ours. Imagine that. You have the same kind of faith as Peter does. Even all these people that he was talking to that haven't had decades of cassette tapes and DVDs and CDs and all the other things, they didn't have any of that stuff. And he says, you've received a faith the same kind as ours. by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the revelation knowledge. And I'm going to read it to you like the Greek says it, not how we've quoted it. Grace and peace are multiplied to you through the revelation knowledge that God has. Did you get that? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 4:4 that man will not live by natural bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of Daddy? Isn't everything that comes out of his mouth revelation? So Peter is just simply saying, look, grace and peace are multiplied to you in the revelation knowledge that belongs to God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness through the revelation knowledge, the true knowledge, NASB says, revelation knowledge that belongs to him, who's called us by his own glory and excellence. It says, for by these things he's granted to us, this is new creations, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become a partaker of the divine nature. Did you hear what he just said? I thought we had the divine nature as a new creation already. You do. But if you're going to walk in your own head, you probably won't experience a whole lot of partaking of that nature. Right? So even with new creation men, I use that word in general, ladies, I'm not talking about males. New creation human beings, they still have to make a choice to live in that which is revealed from Daddy on a daily basis, so that they can have an opportunity to be a partaker of that nature that they already have. Okay? And it's the same way with natural human beings. Natural human beings, yeah, did Jesus pay the price for them? Yeah, absolutely. Are they set free? Absolutely. But they have to take ownership of it. Which means what? Which means that they have to put themselves in a position that the Holy Spirit can give them a revelation that Jesus really is who he says he is. And as soon as they take ownership of that, they get a nature upgrade. They go from being a natural man to a supernatural man. And Daddy puts his spirit on the inside of him, moves in permanent. And from that day on, their job is not to try to be holy because Jesus already made you that way. Their job is to learn how to live as a whole human being. Out of their spirit, through the Spirit of God in them, all the rest of their days. And that's really what Peter is talking about here in 2 Peter, about living in the revelation that comes from Daddy. Those great and precious promises, and by them you'll become a partaker of the nature that you already are. So I'll go back over to Philippians, talking about living in the kingdom. I don't really know how long this series is going to be honest with you. I guess one day I'll wake up and I'll just, let's move on. That's usually how it works. I'll stay in a series until in the middle of studying for that series, the Lord shows me something else. Oh. And I go off pursuing that. But anyway, we're talking about living the kingdom lifestyle, kingdom life. We're kingdom people. And can I just say this, folks? Paul understood this. That what so many have adopted as a way of thinking is really just a church way of thinking. And it's not really a kingdom way of thinking. You know, I think I mentioned this last week. There's so many great men of God in the past 100 years that they got this idea that they were absolutely fantastic business people. God prospered them beyond imagination, but they had this mindset that they felt like, I have to give it all away because it's all dirty so I can serve God. And they did that. The challenge with that, see, that's a church mindset. That's not a kingdom mindset. Did they go on to do great things for God? Yeah, they did. But they didn't have to suffer and put their families through the things they put their families through, except the mindset that was in churches was, if you're going to be holy, you have to have nothing. And so a lot of the families of these great men that went to do great things for God, they put their families through so much that they didn't have to because of churchmen mindsets. When they don't realize that the kingdom mindset is, everything belongs to Daddy, therefore it all belongs to you. Remember what Jesus said in John 17? All that my Father has is mine. But he turned around and gave it to us. So everything that belongs to Daddy is us, is ours. And it's not evil, it's not wrong, it's not wicked, it just is. And so a kingdom mindset understands this, that you don't have to be called to be a preacher or called to be a minister or called to be, you know, whatever. You don't have to be one of those people to live life as a kingdom person. You know, Jesus didn't say, go in all the world, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover if you're called to be in the ministry. That's a church mindset. A kingdom mindset knows that, hey, you know, I don't care if you're called to business, if you're called, whatever you're called to, Holy Spirit in you can make you the head, not the tail in that field. Because that's what he's in there for. It doesn't matter what your life calling is, what your assignment is. You know, so many folks have thought that if I want to do great things for God, I got to leave this and go do something. And then they get up under, they try to stand in a place that they're not assigned to stand. And then things go south and they call it suffering for the Lord. Now, that goes over well, doesn't it? So we got to understand, as a kingdom mindset is this, I don't care, you know, if you're a business person, I don't care if you're a waitress at a restaurant. Of course, guys, that wouldn't be you. You wouldn't be a waitress, but you know, if you waited tables, I don't care. Whatever you do in life, whatever it is, understand that as a new creation man or woman, the Spirit of God is in you for you to live connected 24/7. And He can show you how to do that job or that thing or that assignment that you are, that is your life assignment. He can show you how to do that from in your spirit. He can show you things. I've told you this before, that when I was in the business world and the business that I had, I ended up working on $100,000 pieces of equipment that I never went to school for. I'm not an electrician. I didn't go to electrical school. But I would walk into my customers' shops and they would say, this thing's not working. And so I would just begin to pray out of my spirit. And, you know, I knew some general things about how the equipment was supposed to work. But he would show me, he would show me things. He'd say, look here, check this. And every time I would follow his impression to check this or that, he was narrowing it down until finally, bingo, there it is. That's the problem now. And then there were situations where I would even like, I don't know, how do I fix that? He would show me how to fix it. You do that and it worked, and I got to build a guy in. But I didn't go to school for that. It wasn't something I was running out of my head. And it's not just, you know, well, you know, he did that for you because you're a preacher. Not in that business, I wasn't. So we have to understand that the thing that's so awesome about the gospel is You take a human being who is born into the planet, and at some point they're lit. Can I say that? Let me just settle this, because some of y'all maybe. little babies, when they're born into the earth, first of all, let me ask you a question. Is a human being, no matter what age they are they a three-part being? Yes. They are a spirit, They have a soul or a mind and will and emotions, and they live in a physical body. It doesn't matter if it's the size of a loaf of bread or... Okay, so who made the body? A human, right? Mom or dad? Human, natural? Who made the spirit? Who? So is that spirit connected or is it not? It is. Absolutely is connected. Because what does God make anything that's disconnected? No. He doesn't make anything dead. He doesn't make anything. It's connected. At some point in time, you can read this in Romans, at some point in time, when that individual begins to make choices that are against the direction that God wants him to go, the word says literally in the Greek that his heart begins to pump darkness. You know, the church is called the age of accountability. What age that is, I have no idea. And from that place on, you ever notice that, especially like when you get into teenage years, that, you know, if they've made those choices, that they seem to lose their ability to be creative. Because the creativity comes from being connected. The creativity comes from Jesus. You look at some of the countries around the world, and some of the greatest inventions that have ever hit those countries came from men that were connected. They got insight from the Spirit of God how to do that. You know, I know a guy when I first came to Phoenix, he was a friend of Shelby's family, and God showed him, he was a truck driver, God showed him how to, I don't understand all this, but on the axles of those big 18-wheelers, if you look on them, there's a clear, like a lens, that I guess it shows you something about lubrication of those axles or whatever. But God showed him how to make those. I forget the whole story, but it was the Spirit of God. See, here's the thing. We got to understand, folks, that the Spirit of God is in us not to be churchy. The Spirit of God is in us to give us wisdom and insight from heaven. If it has to do with theological things and setting people free, that's good. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. So why would we not expect him and give him place to have input into any facet of your life that you're looking for insight and wisdom in? If it's a business or if it's whatever it is, Holy Spirit can show you how to make that business the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Because didn't he promise that in the Old Testament? Isn't it interesting that we there's so many promises in the Old Testament, we think somehow that all those promises are supposed to take place separate from getting insight from heaven? Did you hear what I just said? Somehow all these promises we think they're supposed to take place without us understanding that the process through which they're going to happen is when you allow what Daddy knows to come to you, and you walk that out. So many times we get this thing that if I just quote the verse enough, if I just quote the verse enough, it'll happen. Well, part of quoting the verse is, you know, you're supposed to live in the place of living off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not just print. When you're studying verses, he wants to give you insight into those verses so that when you get the insight into the verses, you step up into those things and begin to walk those things out. And when that process takes place, you allow him to bring things to pass. He'll bring those promises to pass. See, we've basically learned from you know, I grew up in church my whole life, and you know, basically they taught you, you learned doctrine, you learned theology, but you didn't learn how to live connected. So we learned that we can do all this. We don't need Jesus. We don't need the Spirit of God. We'll just memorize verses. Nothing wrong with memorizing verses. We can memorize verses. We just memorize verses. And we'll just, you know, we'll quote you half the Bible. Nothing wrong with quoting half the Bible. But if you don't have his mindset on the Bible that you're quoting, what good is it? Okay, so here in Philippians, see, Paul understood what life was, what his assignment was. In fact, let me take you one place here. Hold your place in Philippians and go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. There's a place I'm trying to get to here. And sometimes I wish I could just take what was in me and download it. You know those phones, you can just touch phones? You know, I just run up against somebody, and you know, just everything that he showed me, just kind of, boink, and they have an aha moment right there in front on the street. But anyway, what did I say? 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. We kind of can do that when we lay hands on people, you know, with the Spirit of God, but they still have to renew their mind with the Word and learn how to think like a. Think accurately. But 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 10. This is Paul speaking. He says, "For by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored." Everybody say, "I labored." "I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but" what? "I labored more than all of them, but not I, yet the grace of God with me." The word "with" there in the Greek literally is the word that speaks of that which is union or one. Okay? "I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that's with me." Now go over to Colossians chapter 1. Still, you know, keep your finger there in Philippians. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Now let's go to verse 26. It says, "That is the mystery which has been hidden from the ages past and generations, but has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the non-Jewish generations, which is" what? "Which is Christ in you." Christ in you. Everybody say, "Christ in me." Paul said, "I labored more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that's in me, with me, in me." He says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to the" what? Striving according to the what? That's a crazy translation up there. According to his power. I don't know if that screen says that or not. 28. "For this purpose also I labored, striving..." Oh, is it 29? That's what I meant. "Striving according to his power." He called the Corinthian church, he said, "I labor, yet not I, it's the grace of God in me," or "with me, in me." But here he says, "I labor, striving according to the power." So what's the grace of God? It's an empowerment. See, most people don't understand And you know what? I know you've heard me say this before, but most people don't understand. And one of these days, the light's going to go on, and you're like, oh, wow. That what Jesus did for you is he took a human being who was living disconnected and under the dominion of everything, and he put him from the trash can onto the throne, gave him a brand new spirit, put his spirit on the inside of him, which is an empowerment. And now his job, your job as a new creation individual, new creation human being, is to live every chance you have in that empowerment. That's what the gospel is. Is that complicated? I don't think so. Did I ever learn that when I was growing up in church? Nope. I learned all kind of stuff, but not that. But that's what the gospel is. That's simple. Paul got that. Now go to Philippians. Philippians, he says in chapter 1, he says in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with a burden. Is that what it says? Oh, joy. Always offering prayer for you with joy in every prayer for all you, in view of your what? Participation. Now, most folks would say, well, that just means they supported him monetarily, which they did. But I'll submit to you that he's speaking more than just supporting him monetarily. They were participating in the gospel. How many know that video you just saw, that he was participating in the gospel? What Firestarters is going to do is create a generation of people that participate in the gospel, not just come to church and learn about it. Did you hear what I just said? I got more to say about that, but man, I get to it today. But anyway, he says, in view of your participation in the gospel, but then jump down to let's go down to verse 8. It's actually the end of verse 7. It says, you are partakers of grace with me. He's praying for them because they're participants in the gospel. And then he goes on to say, because you're a participant in the gospel, you're partakers of grace with me. Well, how did he participate? How was he a participant or partaker of the grace? It was the empowerment that he conducted his life by every day he lived. See, Paul understood it was an empowerment. And so he goes on to say, he says, for this reason, he says, you know, God's my witness, how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Everybody say the affection of Christ Jesus. He says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge or revelation knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. And remember, we talked about that. What that verse is actually saying is his prayer for them was that their love would come to the place where it was so influential that they began to receive revelation from Daddy, to the place where they would put that to the test, and it would be proved to them that it was genuine. And they would realize that what they were walking out was legitimately what the gospel was all about. And they would recognize that they're partaking in that empowerment that is grace. Because the cycle just kept reinforcing that this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. Okay, so then go to chapter 2. On the way to chapter 2, you'll read verses where he talks about, you know, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit. The provision of the Spirit, that transaction of the provision of the Spirit is what grace is. It's an empowerment. And so he goes on He talks about to live as Christ, but to die as gain. He said, I'd like to go, but I know that for me staying is better for you. We read past these things and we miss that all through these writings, Paul's telling us what life being led by the Spirit of God is. He doesn't come out and say, well, the Lord told me this and the Spirit of God told me this. He speaks of it in terms of knowing. You know, in these verses he says, you know, I know that I'm convinced of this, and I know that I'll remain and continue with you. That's a leading of the Spirit. He has an impression. I know that it's better for you, so I know I'm staying. That's a leading of the Spirit. And so in chapter 2 he says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love. You know, I think there's one word I really do not like in our English language. It's the word if. Because more bad thinking has come from us reading verses that start with if. Because in our language, if means it's subjective and it's a possibility, could go either way. But that's not what it means in this verse. There are words if in the Greek that mean that. But this word is not that word. This word, if, is the same word that's used over in Romans, if God be for you, who can be against you? The word if is not if at all. It's the word if, and it is the case. Or you could say, since. It's not a statement of possibility, it's a statement of fact. So what Paul is saying here, he's not saying these are possibilities. He's saying these are facts. He's saying since there is encouragement in Christ, and since there's a consolation of love, and since there's fellowship of the Spirit, and affection and compassion, it is the case, make my joy complete. Now, here's what I want you to see. Because all in the writings of Paul, he always is speaking about this place of living connected. Living out of our spirit, not out of our heads. Because he says, if, and it is the case, verse 1, there is any encouragement in Christ. And then he goes on to say, and if, and it is the case that there is any consolation of love in him. Now, the word consolation there and the word encouragement, here's the picture of that. The word encouragement, the first word used there, if there's encouragement in Christ, the word encouragement there literally in the Greek New Testament is the picture. It's the picture of someone. It's the compound Greek word parakaleo. It's the picture of someone who is, you know, we've always said, well, it's someone who's alongside of you. Who's alongside of you. But it's more than that. It's somebody who's alongside of you, but they live in your house. They're not just somebody that comes over and hangs out with you. You know, the Holy Spirit's called the paraclete, one who's called alongside. But he's not just there. He doesn't just come and hang out with you. He lives in your house. He lives in your house. You know, this thought came to me this week. You know, the word said that he, you know, the Old Testament says he inhabits the praises of his people. Can we come over into the New Testament? He inhabits you. He's in you. That's where he inhabits. He didn't just show up when you start praising. He's in here already. When we worship him and the presence of God is strong in our midst as a corporate people, it's strong. It's not because he came and said, I decided I want to hang out with you guys. You're letting him out. The presence of God is in you. And every time you can do this in your car, you can do this in your living room, you can do this sitting on a pot. That's real spiritual, isn't it? You can let the presence of God out of you and just enjoy him and worship and praise him. It's not because he didn't just show up because you started praising. He's in you already. So we just like to let him out and hang out with him because he's already in there. He inhabits us. And so Paul is saying, look, he said there is an encouragement in Christ, and there is a consolation of love. Now, here's what I want you to see. That word consolation, and really it's really reflected in the first word, parakaleo, that we just talked about too, the first word that's mentioned. But it's the picture of somebody who lives in your house, and exactly you and that person are one. And their job is to talk to you. They're always talking to you. And they're reminding you who you are. That's what those words mean. Did you know that the love of God talks to you? The love of God talks to you. It may come over to you as an impression. You ever been around somebody that you just had such a strong something in you, you just want to go and just give them a bear hug? I'm not talking about back-breaking stuff. I'm just saying, you just want to love on them. That's the love of God talking to you. You know, what you saw in that video when you started giving, the Muslim guy said, look, I'm tired of this whole religious process where, you religious guys, you ask us questions, so we say things and then you tell us answers. He said, I want you to tell me without me telling you anything. I mean, no, that's no big thing for daddy. Because daddy knows that guy. Knew him when he was born. Before he was born. And so the word of knowledge comes on the scene and he starts giving him a word of knowledge about what love is speaking to him. Love is speaking to us. So he says, look, if it is the case that there is, in fact, encouragement in Christ, and there is, in fact, consolation of love. I love that word consolation because it really is the idea of a conversation that's taking place that draws the mind aside from being in a place of care. It's a conversation that's taking place that draws aside the mind of someone from care. And, and that's why he goes on to say, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if, and it is in fact the case, there is fellowship of the Spirit, and there is an affection and compassion. He says, you make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit. Remember how a couple weeks ago we talked about the fact that, there's one body. It's the body of Christ. Jesus put us into one body, the body of Christ. And then since we're in one body, the body of Christ, and then we ought to be functioning from one mind, and it's not yours. It's not mine, it's His. He's the head, right? So if we're in one body, we ought to be functioning from the one head. That's why people know he sits in the front row. My wife says I trip over people all the time. I don't know what it is. I just walk by and... Anyway. He says, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing, get this, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that this is how Jesus came into the earth, this is how he functioned. He didn't, we always quote those verses where he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. How was he able to do that? He was able to do that because it said he emptied himself. In other words, what did he tell his disciples all the time? It's not my will, it's daddy's will. I do daddy's will. It's not my will. It's not about me. I do what I see my daddy doing. I'm always about my father's business. You know, Ephesians 5 says it too. He emptied himself. What does that mean? It just means, you know, life's not all about you. Most people, life is always about them. That's why you have so much strife and so much division, so much, even in the church. If you take any situation, we could go into any church, and any situation that's in there, whether it's strife or division, and as soon as you get to the bottom of it, the reason there's strife and division is because it's all about somebody that's involved in that conflict. It's all about me. It's an amazing thing. You take yourself out of that equation, there's no more issues. You get a marriage situation where there's, you know, the husband and wife are, okay, you sit them both down and you say, okay, now what does this situation look like when you're not the issue? Well, there is no, exactly. There's no issue. Because life's not supposed to be about us. Now here's what he's not saying, because this is where the church goes with it. The church goes with it and says, okay, now, how you get there is you degrade your own self. You put your own self down so that you can esteem someone else. Give me a break. Is that the only, you know why they do that? It's because they're living in their own heads. And that's the only way you can walk that out in a natural man, is to put your own self down so you can look at somebody better. But you're not supposed to be living as a new creation in your own head. You're supposed to be living it out of your new nature, the Spirit of God in you, your spirit with His spirit. And so when you do that, the love of God is in you. So the love of God, this is why John says, you know, we know and believe the love that God has for us. Because we're supposed to be living in a place where we don't allow the system of the world to speak in our ears and to degrade and deficiency us. Because the love of God, what the love of God does, this is so awesome. The love of God, what it's designed to do, it's designed to come, get in you and come upon you, and it begins to speak to you what Daddy thinks of you. That He sees you spotless and holy and blameless in His sight. That He made a choice to see you that way before the foundation of the world. And this is the way Jesus sees you all the time. He sees you without wrinkle, without spot. This is what He says about you all the time. And so the reason He wants us to spend time with Him, to where His love can wash over us and can well up in us, because it drives out all the trash that the system of darkness is trying to sow into your thought process to keep you in that place as an orphan. To keep you in that place as someone who doesn't know Daddy. To keep you in that place that they can tell you that Daddy really likes to whip on you. He likes that. And because we're not knowing and believing the love that God has for us, because we're not in it all the time, we're not letting it wash over us, we're not letting it speak to us constantly, we believe it. And then we get mad at God, because if you were really a God of love, you wouldn't let this happen. And we go off in this mental merry-go-round. All because we didn't realize that He wants you to stay connected in His love, you stay in His Word, you allow what He knows, you allow Him to show you those things in here. And as He's doing that, the love of God washes over you and comes up out of you, and it begins to change the way you're thinking. It changes what you see. You'll see things in the Word. The love is speaking to you. It functions the same way out in the world to everybody else. That's why Paul prayed, you know, my prayer, since you're a participant in the gospel with me, my prayer is that love will come to the place where revelation will start to flow. Because you're participating in the gospel with me. And you're a partaker of that empowerment with me. Just real quick, let me get these verses and we'll pick them up next week. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. It says in Philippians, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you." Everybody say, in me. Not just in the preacher. In me, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, He's just talked to you about a progression, but maybe we haven't realized it, because He's telling you about, He's telling you that love speaks to you. Love is speaking to you. His love speaks to you. And then He goes on to say, okay, now that which is on the inside of you, love speaking to you, work that out. Bring what's on the inside, love speaking to you, love speaking to you, love, that revelation that He's showing you. Walk that out from the inside to the outside. And when you do that, He says, God is at work in you, both to will and to work. Now, you know, we talk about being led by the Spirit of God. So many folks are looking for words. God, just say something to me. If you pay attention close to how Paul speaks about most of the time when God leads him, he talks about it in terms of, we talk about the one, about having a knowing. Another way he mentions it here, he says, God is at work in you to will. To will. How does he lead? He gives you the will. He puts something in you. He gives you a want to. He gives you an impression. He gives you a... That's how he directs. He says, it's God at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, His good pleasure is to bring all things into union in Christ. All things that are in heaven into the earth. Heaven and earth are one. Jesus made heaven and earth one. Heaven is open, it's not closed. Jesus said, Nathaniel, you've been impressed. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see the heaven opened and angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Because this is the way man was created to function in the earth. There's no division between heaven and earth. Well, Jesus cemented that. Because that was Father's will from before the foundation of the world, that heaven and earth are one. And so He created man as a new creation. He created us to live and to demonstrate the oneness that is of heaven. What did Jesus say? Pray our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Be separate, be magnified, be set apart. And that which is your will in heaven, make it be that way in earth too. Heaven and earth being one. And so every time we live in a place in our life of, number one, we live in the love of God in the Word. Let the revelation that God has, let how Daddy thinks, let Him show you how He thinks when you read this. I know that if we've been church brought up at all, I know there are things that we've seen, there's things that have been told to us, and you know what, that's fine. Because folks give you what they got. It's everybody's in a process, so what's the big deal? People just give you what they got. That's all it is. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's just people just give you what they got. In whatever season that they're in, they give you what they got. He's just saying don't camp out in a season. Because there's so much more He wants to show us. Just stay in this. And let the love of God begin to speak to you and speak to you. And then realize when you step out the doors of a church or step out the doors of your house, realize it's the same process out there that it is in here or in your private time with Him. He wants to show you things. He functions the same way out there. He'll put an impression in it. You know, if you're spending time with Him in your Word and you just get impressed, I'm going to go read. I feel like I should go read over in Psalms chapter 70. Impression, same way He does out there. I feel like I need to go over this. I need to go down this one particular aisle in grocery store. I feel like I need to go to the milk, the dairy section. I feel like I need to. Okay, it's the same process both places. And Paul is saying, look, that process is what the grace of God is. It's an empowerment that Jesus put into the new man, because that's how he functions. And so our job is to pay attention. I love what you're saying. You know, people just flock to that because they want God. And when they, you know, there's scriptures in the Old Testament talking about, you know, that people will run to a Jew because they say, we know God's with you. Well, Paul said a Jew is not one that's one outwardly. A Jew is one that's one inwardly. It's been circumcised in his, he's living in his spirit. you know, we're not dissing anybody, but the new creation man with God in there. That's the model. And he just wants us to learn how to live there. Work that out. Now next week I'm going to show you verses. We're going to see verses that Paul's talking to churches. And he's talking about a model of church that really doesn't seem to exist in the modern. Because the model he's talking about is every new creation believer that comes to church, they're coming in connected. And because they're coming in connected, do I dare say this? He said, each of you has a word, each of you has an encouragement, each of you has. See, in his day, the church, they didn't come to church to get. They came to church to fellowship, and they came, they were connected, so they came to whatever the Spirit of God would give them, give it. You know, that which builds up, that which edifies, that which encourages, they came to give that. Because they knew they're living connected. See, that's not the model that we live with today. The model that we live with today, everybody is spiritually crippled. And I'm speaking in big generalities, or not anybody in this room. Everybody is spiritually crippled. They don't have anything. They don't get anything. They're coming to get because, oh my God, I'm going to go down tomorrow if you don't give me something. But that's not the model that Paul said the church is. The church he's talking about is a church that understands their empowerment. They understand who's in them. They understand they live connected. They live out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So a number of places in his writings to the churches, he told them about, encouraged them about the scenario where you give what you've got. And it didn't come out of here. It came out of here. Because living anywhere else, that isn't even a blueprint. Where do we get this idea that we're just supposed to live out of our head, out of our emotions? You know, that's why you have so much goofy junk going on. And people are like, is that God? That's probably just their upbringing. Folks, I'm done, but here's why we seem like we're going over this process over and over and over and over again. The reason we're going over this process over and over and over and over again is because God's trying to take us someplace. He wants to get us to the place that where we're not, we're all sufficient in all things and able to abound under every good work in any situation, any place, any time, anywhere. He's trying to get us to a place where, you know, this is a church where he knows that we don't just do church on Sundays. We are the church and we just live. We go places. I mean, you know, honestly, I really don't like the commentary on that video. Because the guy is living like one of these guys. He's completely clueless about, yeah. Who he is, and here he is. He's watching a new creation man function as they're created to, and he thinks it's just wild and radical. When it's just, that's just the way they're supposed to function. Old model, new model. Palm Pilot, iPhone. And Jesus is trying to get. He's trying to get us to the place where will you let me? Will you let me show you me in action? Will you let me? Because I want to. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. To the place where, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. If we just learn to live here. Not weird, not goofy, not awkward, not any of this crap. Just learn to live here. Let's just live here. You know, how do you start? Any kind of way you want. If it's hard for you to talk to somebody, then just go talk to somebody. If that's where you start, then that's where you start. No big deal. Don't make it weird. Don't make it uncomfortable. None of that stuff. Just go and let him stretch. And then, you know, you can move on to something else. Whatever the next thing that makes you uncomfortable, just nail that. Doesn't have to be weird. And just, you know, do it enough to where it's old hat for you. I don't know what else. And then you just keep moving on. And pretty soon you'll be praying for people. You'll see somebody in the mall and you say, you know what? What's going on? What's happened with that ankle there? What's going on with that ankle? And you just, you know, you just love talking to people and because you've already been on that. You've been there already. So that's no big deal. So you just, and then you say, well, let me just pray for that. God wants to make that right. And we just go there. It's not something weird. It's not an outreach. I mean, I love outreaches, but what I want to see more than outreaches is people just do it. We just live here. You know, part of the thing that, you know, outreaches make things weird and make people uncomfortable. And, you know, we'll do stuff like that. But let's get beyond the outreach mindset and get to the place where we just be. This is just who we are all the time. And God just happens everywhere we are. God just happens. And we just love it. It's just not weird for us. It's not uncomfortable for us. You know, we can just do, you know, I don't know, use this term. We can just do like a drive-by before they even know what happened. We just prayed for them, went on our business, got our milk and left. And then, you know, it's Holy Spirit's job to do whatever. Right? You guys up for that? Let's stand. His love talks to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you. And I just praise you. You're totally awesome. Thanks for living on the inside of us. Thanks for talking to us, spending time with us. Thank you for teaching us how to think like you. And thank you for your empowerment of grace that's in us. All the time. That is the joy of our salvation, or your salvation. It's the joy of your salvation, and we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, I declare over everybody in this room, any place where there's deficiency or need. We call those needs met in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for giving them revelation along those lines. They spend time with you and you show them how to supersede the system in the world. I speak to everybody here in the name of Jesus and I call you healthy, whole. I call every joint, every bone, every muscle, every organ saturated with the life of Jesus. Same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead under all opposition dwells in you and quickens that body to life. And we just thank you for it, Lord, that we are a partaker of your divine nature in our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.